Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zemlich here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and we have the wonderful pleasure of having Bishop Bradley here with us today. Bishop Bradley, welcome.
Good morning, Deacon Louis. Good morning to all our listeners. Happy September.
And also a happy Memorial Day this weekend, too,
Labor
right?
Day.
Labor Day. Labor Day. Thank you. I always get those two mixed up. And we have Vicki Cessna with us here, too. And she reminded us that the holiday was this weekend, so that's tomorrow. And, of course, we see all of these things that are happening in the church, and it's so wonderful to have our bishop here with us. And we're going to talk about the scriptures today. And we'll touch a little bit on some of the news, but sometimes it's overwhelming, too. And we just have to have faith. We have to say our prayers, know that God will make a good out of all of this, all of this. But it's so important that we pray. It's so important that we don't run away from these things. When our family is in trouble, you know, what do? We come to their aid, right? We pray, and we try to definitely make the best of things. And we're going to see in our scriptures this weekend, too, how it's really drawing us to look at our lives, as the scriptures do almost every weekend. So we're going to start right into the scripture readings. And also, if you're interested in looking at the bishop's letter in response to some of the things that are happening in church, you can go to the Diocese of Kalamazoo website, which is diokzoo.org.
Deacon Louis, I would just interject here. We said it's September, and we said it's Labor Day weekend, but these are the readings for the 22nd Sunday in Ordinary Time.
Yes.
And so they're the normal, the regular Sunday readings that follows in our ongoing sequence. So.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. And thank you for that reminder. So sure. This is the 22nd Sunday in Ordinary Time, September 2nd. And these are readings that are read at Catholic churches all over the world. So our first reading is from Deuteronomy 4. 1 through 2, and then 6 and 8. Moses said to the people, "Now, Israel, hear the statutes and decrees, which I am teaching you to observe, that you may live and you may enter into and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. In your observance of the commandments of the Lord your God, which I enjoin upon you, you shall not add to what I command you, nor subtract from it. Observe them carefully, for thus will you give evidence of your wisdom and intelligence to the nations, who will hear all of these statutes and say, 'This great nation is truly a wise and intelligent people.' For what great nation is there that has God so close to it as the Lord, our God, is to us whenever we call upon him? Or what great nation has statutes and decrees that are as just as this whole law which I am setting before you today?" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And our responsorial psalm is Psalm 15, 2 through 3, 3 and 4, and 4 and 5.
The one who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord. Whoever walks blamelessly and does justice, who thinks the truth in his heart and slanders not with his tongue.
The one who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord.
Who harms not his fellow man, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor, by whom the reprobate is despised, while he honors those who fear the Lord.
The one who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord.
Who lends not his money at usury and attempts no bribe against the innocent, whoever does these things shall never be disturbed.
The one who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord.
Our second reading is from James chapter 1, verses 17 through 18, 21, 22, and 27. Dearest brothers and sisters, all good giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no alteration or shadow caused by change. He willed to give us birth by the word of truth, that we may be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Humbly welcome the word that has been planted in you and is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word and not bearers only, defending yourselves. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And our gospel reading today is taken from the Gospel of St. Mark, the 7th chapter. When the Pharisees with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of his disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed, hands. For the Pharisees, and in fact all Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of the elders. And on coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. And there are many other things that they have traditionally observed: the purification of cups and jugs, kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and scribes questioned Jesus, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands?" He responded, "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'Their people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts.' You disregard God's commandment, but cling to human tradition." He summoned the crowd again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person, but the things that come out from within are what defile. From within people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So some beautiful readings today. And Bishop Bradley, any thoughts on quite a bit before us?
Yes, I think they're beautiful because they're part of God's word.
Amen.
They're powerful because they really call a spade a spade.
Yes, indeed.
And that's what God's word is. It's always the revealed truth, and it speaks to us about, so that in a way, so that we can see ourselves in a reflection of God's word, and see it for what it truly is. I think the first reading, of course, from the book of Deuteronomy, I think really sets the stage for. Sometimes when we hear about God's word or God's law, it automatically has a kind of a connotation of something that's imposed, a burden to carry, a list of restrictions, a whole category of things that we just are forbidden to do, almost as though it's because, God enjoys seeing us have a difficult time.
Yeah.
But I think what we hear from the book of Deuteronomy, and so frequently from the Old Testament, comes the message that God speaks to us the commandments precisely because he loves us.
Yes.
And we don't have to look far to understand that. Just look to our own parents, or look to, if you're a parent who's listening, think about your children. You know, what do you do? What are the first things that you do?
Right.
You know, when you're raising your child, you set all these boundaries. You set restrictions. You lay down rules. You know, and you
sometimes commandments we try to
and maybe well, it depends on how you enforce them, I guess.
Right.
But you know, I think we see that because you love your child. Yes. You don't want to see anything happen. First of all, for their own well-being, that they could hurt themselves as their babies or toddlers or as they grow. And I mean, those restrictions, of course, have to be broadened out and altered as the child grows. But they're all for the same purpose, so that they don't hurt themselves.
Amen.
Secondly, because they don't know any better. You know, so they think,
yes,
you know, a baby thinks, oh, I can walk right down those steps.
Yes.
You know better. They can't possibly do that. They'd fall down and hurt themselves badly. So, you know, laws and restrictions and guidelines and rules are for the purpose of protecting us, because God loves us. And so, you know, when we hear Moses saying to the people, observe the statutes, the decrees, carefully, and when you do that, you're gonna give evidence to the people that you're a pretty wise and intelligent group of people, because
yes,
you have a God who loves you.
Amen.
And you're following these rules. Some people say, well, that restricts my freedom. Well, perhaps in the same way that a parent restricts the freedom of their child to get up and put their hand on a hot stove.
Right.
You know, anybody would do that. But I want to do it. But
right.
So the parent has to say, well, you can't do it.
That's right.
So I think that's the first and foundational way that we need to understand God's law, God's commandments, God's ways that he helps us to come to know what are the right things to do, what are the right ways that we should live our lives. So, you know, and as that reading concluded, there's a beautiful kind of a rhetorical question. What great nation has statutes and decrees that are as just as this whole law which I'm setting before you today? Moses asks.
Yes.
What other nation has a God that loves you so much that he cares enough about you that he gives you these laws? So, you know, I think that's the basic point that we hear in the readings. But St. James kind of picks up on that, and he says, you know, you have to do more than just listen to the word. You have to do more than just, okay, I know what the commandments are. Okay, but what are you going to do about
right.
that? How are you going to put God's word into practice? How are you going to live, follow the commandments, and not feel like you're being burdened? So humbly welcome the word that has been planted in you and is able to save your souls. God's word is the saving word. It saves us when we listen to it, when we put it into practice.
Amen.
That's the way that we can allow ourselves to be saved, because we're not going to save ourselves. Be doers of the word. Don't just hear it, but put it into practice.
And I think this also, too, from this reading from James, too, that if we are not doers of the word and hearers only, we're deluding ourselves, right?
Yeah.
So we think that, okay, I can read all the scriptures, I can do all the things or not do all the things, and I'm going to be just fine. And I think, you know, it's just as we find the world, you know, and I think, you know, for every generation, we all have things to battle against. We have evil to battle against, evil within ourselves, which the gospel, will go into the gospel talking about that. But it's always a challenge for us. And I think the great delusion that we have is that everything's going to be fine. that every day is going to be like Disneyland, right? Where, you know, you go and everything's fine and the food's good and you go on rides. But it's not. Life is difficult. That's why we have this program. Mm-hmm. Bishop, you've dedicated your life to God, mm-hmm. to work for God. It's difficult. It's a difficult job. You deal with people who not only do not want to be hearers or doers, but they go the opposite direction, mm-hmm. too. You know, so just a thought, especially on that.
I think and there's often misunderstanding about our take on being doers of mm-hmm. not. And here clearly it says, as you said, Bishop, the word is what saves your soul, but you also have to go out and walk the talk. And especially I like where it says, you know, to keep oneself unstained by the world. And I think that's obviously a common theme throughout all the readings today. People love to say, you know, be in the world, not of the world, or whatever that phrase mm-hmm. is, to try mm-hmm. and interiorly get yourself right, and the external stuff will not lead you in a bad direction. I mean, that's what I'm mm-hmm. kind of hearing loud yeah. and clear.
And I think it's interesting because James, who we don't hear from that often through the daily or through the weekly celebrations of the Eucharist, we don't hear from James's epistle as much as St. Paul, of course, and others. But he has such a strong focus on the good works mm-hmm. aspect of life, you know, because there was a little bit of a controversy, would probably be too strong of a word, but there was a difference of opinion in terms of, you know, what was required. And there were some that said, well, as long as you have faith, that's all you need. And of course, James is in a very famous line, is faith without works is dead.
That's right.
You know, so you can't, you know, if all you're doing is saying I believe, but you don't do any good works that reflect that faith in your life,
yes.
Well, to your point, Deacon Lowe, you said you're deluding yourself. But St. James always gets to the nitty gritty. What does it mean to be doers of the word? Well, he says it means to care for the orphans and the widows mm-hmm. in their affliction. I mean, that's very specific. To be doers of the word mean to care for people who are in need, mm-hmm. who can't care for themselves. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that first of all has to begin with a compassionate heart that we hope is reflective of Jesus's sacred heart and his loving heart for us. And because we experience the compassion of the Lord, we in turn can be compassionate, must be compassionate. And that happens through what we now in our Catholic tradition have come to call the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. It's all of those things, as James says, care for the orphans and the widows. But, you know, as we also hear in the Gospel of Matthew in the 25th chapter, in that final judgment scene, to feed the hungry, give drink to the yes. thirsty, clothe the naked, visit the imprisoned. And Jesus said, when you've done that for those people, you're doing it for me. Mm-hmm. Jesus makes it very, very personal. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yes, it's the be doers of the word, not just hearers only. Doing means doing what Jesus did.
Yes.
To love our neighbor.
Amen. And actively engaging too. You know, we see, you know, even though, you know, we see some of the problems that the church is having right now, the entire world has problems. Uh-huh. Every single country has got problems. And God is constantly calling us week in, week out. Will you pray? Jesus calling us, will you help? Right? Mm-hmm. And it's not just for priests or deacons or religious or for people who work here at the diocese to fix things or make things right. It's up for all of us. We're all challenged with these great readings that come every week, whether it's from Moses calling us in the Old Testament, repeating the law, or James saying, you know, faith without works is dead, as you said, Bishop. But now we have this gospel reading, mm-hmm. which is quite plain for us.
Well, it is, you know, because I think Jesus is caught as trying to be put in a position where the scribes and the Pharisees can catch him mm-hmm. because he's not observing, he and his disciples are not observing these teeny tiny little prescriptions of the law. You know, so he didn't wash his hands properly,
right.
is the complaint. Mm-hmm. Right. And Jesus is saying, really? I mean, that's what you're going to get
right.
upset about? And that's not to disregard traditions mm-hmm. at all. But Jesus knew the heart of the Pharisees, whose heart was always motivated by something that was not virtuous. So they were always trying to, you know, as we've been hearing in the readings earlier this week, in our weekly readings, Jesus, there was 3 days of woes that we heard from the Gospel of Matthew. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. He called them blind guides. He called them hypocrites.
Mm-hmm.
They were the religious leaders. They had authority. But they lacked the heart. Mm. They had no sense of what it meant to live and to love God, to live in God's ways. They just wanted to go and tell everybody else what to do.
Right.
So, you know, I think that's where, again, Deacon Louie, you've made reference to, you know, the problems that we're experiencing in the world, the problems that we're experiencing right now in the church, that, of course, affects all of us here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo as well. But these are problems that we know have become very internationally known and has really sent shock waves around the world, including all of us here. So while something might have happened in Pennsylvania or Washington or in New York or New Jersey, we're part of the whole church. Yeah. And you know, when somebody hurts, we hurt. When somebody has been shamed, you know, we share in some of that shame as well, and sadness, and word that you used earlier, Vicki, grieving. I mean, our mm-hmm. hearts grieve for, first of all, anybody who's ever been hurt by a priest or somebody who's committed their life to do exactly the opposite, to help people to come to know God. So for any person who has ever experienced that profound abuse of trust, you know, that's something that we all grieve over. And we ask God's mercy on those people who have been hurt, and certainly ask God's mercy on those who have made those awful, sinful choices, criminal choices in many cases. On the other hand, you know, I think we continue to say, where is our faith placed? In whom is our faith placed? And it's in God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in God who has revealed himself to us through his son Jesus as our Savior, as the Word made flesh. Who is the one who established the church and entrusted it to Peter with the promise that the forces of evil would not prevail against his church. So, yes, we're going through a very painful time. But we have to make sure that we never lose sight of our faith are not in people. It's not in people. It's not in individuals. We want to trust people, for sure, especially people in authority within the church. But we also know that, you know, our faith and our trust is in God. And God is going to see us through this. I think we have to do more than just pray. I think we have to pray, but we also have to work to fix whatever whatever caused or could allow for anything like this to happen in the church, where people could go unnoticed for years and years and years, where somehow or another, when those things happen, and I want to be quick to add, these are not the general practices. These are the awful exceptions that certainly become magnified because of the gravity of the problem, because of the gravity of their crime. But this is not something that we could end up saying, is this everywhere? Is this everybody? Yeah, I think we have to keep our faith strong in that regard, and ask the Lord to help us. So prayer for sure, but also finding solutions for rooting out anything that could allow for this to happen. So I think that's my prayer and
that's very nice.
And focus, because as we say, we have to have our eye on the big picture. It's not on whether we've washed our hands properly, though that's probably good to do for sanitation purposes.
Yes.
But are we following and living our lives according to God's law?
Amen. Very nice. Thank you, Bishop Bradley. That's very good. And the few minutes that we have left, we've got about 3 minutes left. Just any particular things, this gospel reading is very powerful because it says the sinfulness, that as human beings comes from within us. So we have this thing that we need to work on.
Well, I mean, it does come from within us, but, I think one of the things I think we need to be concerned about is there is so much garbage all around us.
Amen.
And and we become almost immune to its garbageness, garbageosity, whatever the word is. Because it's so prevalent and it's so normal in some respects that we say, oh, well, I guess that's okay. But it's that which I think erodes and destroys our mind to be able to not be polluted with all of these awful things that we take in, sometimes on purpose, sometimes we can't hardly help it.
Sometimes passively,
yes.
Yeah, it's just, becoming part of the culture is becoming so diluted in deluded in a way. Yes, I agree.
But so those things come into us, and then if we foster them and actively entertain them, that's going to result in awful sin. So first of all, I think we have to try to purify the world around us, and then also really purify our own minds and hearts, and so that we can not just focus on problems, but we can recognize the glorious beauty of the world in which we do live. That it's not all bad people, and it's not all bad priests or bishops or cardinals. It's but there are bad people, and there are bad things that happen. Mm-hmm. But by far, God has given us the great gift of faith, and we need to give thanks to God for that. So happy Labor Day to everybody. This is a holiday that we truly give thanks for the ability to work, for the ability, the privilege of being able to raise our families and earn a living. So happy Labor Day to one and all, and may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Bishop Bradley. God bless you all.
You're welcome.
We love you.